to the Do One Thing Well podcast of the Higher Denim team. Today we're going to talk about Sage, the innovation appliance company.
Yeah, and quick backstory, 1932 started by Bill O'Brien and Harry Norville, and they sort of merged their names and they came up with a name called Breville. And they started out making, radios, and then during the war, mine detectors. But then they sort of grew into household appliances. But what happened in, not sure of the exact date, but they sold their name in the UK. So Breville couldn't be Breville in the UK, and they had to suddenly be Sage. So that's what we're talking about today, is the Sage company.
So yeah, David, as you said, Harry Norville, who was an engineer, and Bill O'Brien, who was a radio salesman, came together in 1932 originally they were going to make radios. And then during World War II, they ended up making mine detectors. After that, they went back to radios and TV sets. And then sort of around the 50s is when they moved more onto appliances. The O'Brien family remained very much a part of Breville. And they had three generations of product design and development where they were able to focus on their own product, which is when they went sort of into the appliances more. In 2001, they were bought by a company called Housewares, which has bases in Australia, New Zealand, and Hong Kong.
Okay.
And in 2002, they launched in America and Canada under the name Breville. In 2008, Housewares, because the Breville products had become so popular, renamed Housewares to Breville. And just focused on appliances as opposed to anything else. And then, as you mentioned, they were sold in the UK as Breville through other companies. So they wanted to be direct to consumer. So in 2013, they launched in the UK just as Sage so that they could go direct to the customers.
What year did they sell their name in the UK? Does anybody know that?
I think it was around 2008 when they did.
Okay.
When Housewares did the
okay.
Breville thing.
It's between that 2008,
2013.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
So the turning point for Sage we found was that they were one of the first companies to consider user experience design in their products. And this all started with their two chief designers, who are Keith Hensel and Richard Hoare. They used to work for another company called Sunbeam in Australia, which was like a much cheaper appliance brand, and they focused more on quantity than quality. So they moved to Breville in 2002. And then from there, they started focusing more on the quality of the design and everything that they could consider for the consumer. They were really the famous two who bought the Breville Heston brand together, because they moved across to London when this started to launch and became the two designers for that.
And Richard was the innovation director and Keith was the principal director.
Yeah.
So design director. So, but they were the catalyst for the change. So,
yeah. And what's really interesting on their first day, the founder and the former chairman, John O'Brien, showed them the customers typed up guarantee cards. And he did this, even though he was retired, he did this on a weekly basis. Which is pretty incredible going back to the consumer. And one of the customers with arthritis had written in and they couldn't use a juicer. So Richard and Keith.
Yeah.
They then had designed, which today is called the Citrus Press, correct?
Yeah. And the interesting thing on that is it went through many, many iterations prototype. And eventually now it hasn't changed in a decade, but it changed like maybe 100 times in terms of prototypes at the beginning.
Yeah, I think they said they would spend their nights when they were visiting conventions in hotels making more design iterations of this. So it literally was like they lived and breathed it.
Yeah, the dedication is so clear.
And it's a thing of beauty, isn't it? It's just like, it's easy to use, even if you've got arthritis. Mm. It's beautiful on the eye.
Mm.
And I imagine the orange juice is pretty good too.
It came to Hansel, in the shower. And I think, since it's won many, many design awards.
Mm.
But I suppose the interesting point for us to learn is like the importance of listening to your customer.
Mm.
And, you know, like the comments section is people go, there's loads of bad comments. So you go, maybe that's your future product talking, doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I find that interesting for us to learn. Do you mean?
Yeah. That's like user experience design is a feedback loop where you have that constant feedback to improve from.
And that's their big thing, isn't it? The feedback loop is listen, iterate, launch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's an awful lot of iteration within the iterate fit.
Yeah, one of the things we talk about in a bit is about this idea of going deep into the product, deep into the design, but not forgetting to come back out and check with the user, check with the customer, check with the consumer. Yeah. It's okay going really deep and dedicated, but if you don't come back out to talk to people, then the design isn't going to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, they were definitely the turning point, weren't they?
Yeah.
Moving to London, moving company, but they changed the culture into an innovation culture. So
I think it's like as well solving a problem. So if they're given this guarantee card, you're then literally solving a problem. Mm. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite an interesting way to design.
Yeah.
So yes, I've got designing world's first since 1932. That's one of the straplines they use. And it's a great one, isn't it?
Mm.
I think we know the power of world's firsts from ourselves and what that means. And it's really set in stone the dedication to that culture of innovation. So yeah, Heston's inclusion in their launch gathered a lot of attention. But what I really was the 10 years of innovation before that. That's what actually had the impact.
Because if they hadn't have done the 10 years of innovation, like Heston would have touched them with a barge pole. But the thing that it wasn't like, he's going to get paid to do this thing. There was lots of offers to go and put my name to something. But he's the type of guy who wouldn't put his name to something unless the product was in similar ethos to him. And I find that extraordinary where you suddenly go, he looked at the products and went, these guys are the real deal.
I think that's the thing, they're best to impress the specialist. So the person who knows them, they are at that level. They're impressive to those people that really know their stuff. So it's in the toaster went more than a century without any sort of change before Sage did it. And the latest world first is the kind of not desktop, kitchen top, almost pizza oven, which replicates the performance of a brick oven, which again reaches 400 degrees C. And again, that's,
But it does it in like 2 minutes.
It's the same bit of kit.
And I think all these innovations, all these patents are all trying to make it easier for the customer. And that's kind of that's the ethos that's running throughout it.
Yeah.
And I was sort of curious. I got a Breville kettle and it just heats the water. It's like, that's what it does. I mean, that's what a kettle is supposed to do. But Sage's kettle has about 6 different temperatures. I can keep it on boil. It knows if I'm doing the difference between, white tea to green tea and coffee. And those things need different temperatures. And yet, so the Breville company, even though it's using the traditional or the original name, is a commodity. And Sage is an innovations appliance company.
No, it's really impressive. So, and again, go back to Richard Hoare. It's his input that's been central to all of those major moves in the company. And they've been really supportive of his approach and almost tripled their investment in R&D. And that investment then has been used to create their own innovations group. And what they're doing there is, task themselves as kind of blue sky thinking. So it's not just about the next launch of the next product. We're looking kind of years and years ahead. They're always trying to keep that step ahead of themselves. And they're relentless in their approach to innovation. It's something they really want to do. As you say, Nianis, they identify key design opportunities in consumer life and consumer behavior. And then they start with empathy, put themselves in the consumer's shoes. As you're saying, they test, they tweak, they test, they retest, they tweak. They just relentless with that. They just want to solve that consumer problems and they're really persistent with it. And we're saying, as we were saying a bit as well, it's this function, but it's humanity as well. Like you're saying, it's understanding what that person is doing. Back to Richard Hoare then, he's in really high regards. I've got written down here. So throughout his 26-year career, he has developed over 360 household appliances and 170 awards worldwide, developing 1,200 design patents. And
it's crazy.
Which is a lot of stuff in one day. He does insist that it's credit is due to the team, which is very, very high on team, and that a good team makes a good product. But I think the key is that team of his is driven to innovate. They're really, that's pushed into them all the time. Yeah.
And the importance of the patent is, you know, like if you keep coming up with more and more ideas, you have to be able to protect them going forward. And so they come up with an idea and they can go and launch it. And the patent then gives them 10 years to go and get the money back on that investment. Mm. So, and that's why they're the innovations company, not just a kettle company.
Mm. Yeah, that kind of patenting the designs is the cornerstone of the policy, the kind of business plan, really. And so I've just got some of the ones here. So they've got the accessibility plug in the US and Australia, where you can poke your finger through the middle.
Like a hole in it, doesn't it?
To make it easier to remove the plug.
That was actually on their logo for a while as well.
Yeah.
And back to the Citrus Press. So Keith Hensel's Citrus Press was first registered in the US in 2006. It was slightly tweaked in 2012. But the innovation is basically the same. The patent is basically the same to this day. And as well, Keith Hensel is still credited with the patent for the vegetable juicer released in 2020, which even though since his passing, which we're going to discuss, his legacy still lives on in the Sage family because of that innovation that was put in all those years ago.
Wow. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Like how two people can change a company. I mean, actually, if you think about Jonathan Ive at Apple, you know, like, and Steve Jobs, I mean, you know, them two caused all sorts of havoc. I mean, interesting.
Now, David, I think this is your favorite bit about our toaster upstairs, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I was watching a design program and this button came up and it just says a bit more. I didn't know this company. I didn't know who made it. I bought one the next day. I did a research, Googled it, bought it. Because I just thought, whoever came up with that actually understood human beings standing at a toaster. Yeah. I mean, that thing going, do I need a bit more?
Yeah. Mm. Toasting is such an imperfect art.
But they also were, they didn't know whether to carry on with, when they were researching that a bit more, they had other options, didn't they? Was it?
They were going to call it extra darkness or 10% extra.
Yeah. And none of those things had the like humanity that a bit more, because that was the conversation that's already gone in your head. Yeah. Do I do a bit more?
Yeah.
Do I do more? And then the designer put that, the thing that you were actually thinking about, onto the bloody button.
Yeah.
It's genius. Mm. Yeah. And it's ridiculously simple. It's so obvious. You go, well, what else would you do it?
And a crumb and a bagel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was actually one of the last products Keith Hensel designed, and also the smart kettle that you mentioned earlier. And in 2013, unfortunately, Keith Hensel passed away. He was only 47. But Richard Hoare actually gave the eulogy at his funeral as well. And I know he said that Keith probably wasn't the most famous designer, but he could run rings around all the others.
I love that thing when I was reading it this morning, was he played Lego until he was 19, and they were saying that was far too young to stop. But yeah, so it's in a way it's a bittersweet story, isn't it? It's kind of like a story of two friends. They were friends till the end. Going, leaving a company, joining a company, leaving the country they were living in, setting up a design studio, and literally changing the appliance market. I'm sure that all the appliance companies go and see what they're doing next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we're on to the third wave coffee, which Hall kind of noted in the early 2000s that people were turning into coffee snobs, basically, and they were wanting that taste, and it was like more of an artisanal food. And as you can see that we looked at a graph on Google Trends, where coffee machine versus instant coffee has increased since 2010 with the big peaks around Christmas. So people are really investing into it. And Sage clocked onto that, and Luke Powell, the coffee guru, kind of
created the Sage machine, coffee machine that we're fortunate to have upstairs. And it was to drive the drive to allow people to drink third wave specialty coffee at home in a function within Sage.
Yeah. Because if you think about it, like if you've had really good coffee in like all these coffee shops and then you go home, you're still drinking that same old rubbish.
Yeah.
And but the thing is with trends is you want the wind on your back, not like in your face. So when it's on your back, it's much easier to go and launch a product where you go, the desire is already there.
Yeah.
And once you go and give them a product, which is ridiculously simple. If I can make a great cup of coffee now, they give me the tools to do it. So they tell me all sorts of things, when I should clean it, you know, like it's full, like I need empty. And it's all these like things. They literally know my talent and they make me look bad.
Yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous.
I guess it's interesting as well with the pizza oven. Now it's like this body that we used to be okay with.
Yeah.
Rubbish pizza, frozen pizza. And now since the growth of pizza, we want better pizza.
Why do I have to have crap pizza at home when I can have it? Well, you don't have to have crap pizza at home. You don't have to have crap coffee. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
The sad thing is you won't want to go out.
Yeah. Yeah. Always like setting that bar higher and higher. Awesome.
But making it so the amateur can be world class. You don't have to really know what you're doing.
Was it pro consumer or something? Pretty interesting.
And so having spoken about the pizza oven and how they are moving coffee forward, they are also doing the same with food. They have a huge food philosophy about wanting to be able to provide people with the best products to make the best food. So when they were looking at doing all their innovation, they wanted to work with somebody who was innovative. And as we've mentioned, Heston Blumenthal already, know, he's a man who's known for eggs and bacon ice cream and lickable wallpaper. No. So he doesn't really get much more maverick or innovative than that. So
I think he just wakes up and goes, "Today I'm going to do some wallpaper that you can lick."
Yeah.
Did he do that in the shower? I mean, it's like, this is kind of ridiculous. But
use the shower more here.
I know. He's to hang out in the shower.
Clearly, yeah. So when they were looking for people to team up with, he genuinely wanted to work with them because he believed in their product.
But isn't that the beauty of ideas and innovation? Because he could see these people were like into it. He didn't want to put his name to anything. And that's the beauty is that you have ideas and you keep putting them out there is you will work with the best.
And his and obviously when he launched, he is a very well-known face. So it instantly meant that the customer also trusted the product because if he's using it, great. Mm-hmm. But it's not just people like Heston. Renee Redzepi, who actually wears our jeans.
Yes.
He uses their vegetable juicer in his restaurant in Noma.
Yeah.
So which is one of the world's best restaurants.
Why wouldn't he? Yeah. It's like ridiculously simple.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, in terms of collaboration is like, you go, Heston's a geek. These people are geeks. And so the geeks hang out with the geeks. And of course he's going to do collaboration with them. Because it's a natural fit. No one's going, "Oh, he's sold out." He's going, "No, he's endorsing something that's really proper good." So, I mean, it's the perfect partnership.
And I think when they launched in the UK, they only launched with like 16 products. So it was like the cherry pick of their best innovation pieces.
Yeah.
And it's just such a good way to launch Sage in comparison to Breville.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like most overnight successes is like 10 years of hard work.
Yeah.
And people tend to forget about that.
We learned that with Pangaea as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's like 10 years worth of research. You go, they've come from nowhere. But no, they were geeking out on stuff for 10 years.
Yeah. I just want to know what they're looking at now. Fly on the wall.
Cool.
So for launch here, they partnered with MBA, which is a digital agency, with the mission of bringing that food thinking to the UK, to the consumer, to the customer. So MBA's work with Sage is based on the ZMOT stage of the purchase cycle, which is the zero moment of truth, which is about that stage when a consumer looks into a product before they even necessarily think about buying it, before they engage with the kind of brand itself, is when they do their research. So according to Google, 53% of shoppers say they always do research before they buy. So it's really obvious to target that stage of the kind of, yeah, consumer behavior, which is what they've done with these. So one of the main ways they did this was, again, using Heston to create a series of films, introducing product range, explaining what they're about, showing them off, and those kind of things. And over a million of these films have been downloaded and watched. So that really worked. And then they continued this then into social media and things with, they did a talk tea with Heston, a social event which educated consumers on the importance of the temperature and precision when making tea and the difference that can make. And as you've said, the cattle they produce allows you to have that precision, allows you to make really great tea. The Juice Love social campaign as well, which they noted the power of peer support if you want a healthy lifestyle. They noticed that if your friends have a healthy lifestyle as well, it's more likely to be a success. So they use social media to promote that. And then Real Bread Week, which is something that goes on in the UK anyway, they hijacked that as part of when they launched a new bread maker. So again, all these campaigns are generating awareness.
So they've been pretty savvy. And like anything, if you come up with a new appliance and it's brilliant, you still have to sell it.
Much like you say with trends, they're just watching that kind of trend behavior on social media as well and following where those trends are and then kind of combining that into their strategy.
Completely.
It's all about driving traffic then to their store, to the brand, and talking to serious foodies and experts, as we've said, and specialists who really appreciate what Sage are doing. And then they share that love.
Because I mean, I've spent much more on more expensive coffee machines and had less good coffee. And so that thing of going, like, there's an awful lot of snobbery about which machines you have. But even the coffee geeks go, oh, this fine, it's good. So basically, where do we beat them? I mean, obviously they make better kettles than us, but TikTok, we smash them.
And Twitter.
And Twitter.
And Instagram.
And Instagram.
It's becoming a bit aerial. Honestly, they do it very well. I just outlined how they do it very well.
No, but the thing is, what they use is not their platform for themselves. They use other people to go and say stuff on their behalf. So actually what we should be looking at is the influencers they're using to tell the message. They don't rely on them just being the voice.
And I was just going to say, a lot of the campaigns I mentioned here, all of them are about establishing hashtag. So it's hashtag talk to you with Heston, hashtag.
Oh, really?
Juice love.
Okay.
So,
oh, really?
You, like I said, you hit on that point exactly. They are putting these campaigns out there to get you to tweet about it with a hashtag, to get you to post about it.
Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting.
So it's exactly the same.
So they do collaborations really well as well.
And where they sell this product, they have Sage brand ambassadors where they'll do virtual demos or masterclasses, offering in 5 different languages. So they're making sure that the customers that are purchasing are then not qualified, but understand how to use it and stuff. So they're really making sure that they're looking after their customers.
And haven't they started to grow across other markets, like into more of Europe as well?
France and Spain. They've grown into, recently launched in France and Spain, and they've partnered with Stella, who drive the product sales and brand loyalty through these retail experiences that we've just mentioned.
And I mean, having been a customer of theirs, I mean, their after sales service is really good, because when something went a bit wrong, they really put it right really well. So that's good to know. But also they've seemed to have done many, many, many things well. I think that's pretty interesting. Do you mean? Okay. Do we sum up now?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, to do one thing well, you have to do many, 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 many things well. Where they started from is in a very different place to where they are now. I think obviously the turning point, with Richard and Keith joining them, they suddenly become, like you said, Leanne, like, innovations appliance company. But it's about the customer. It's about empathy. It's about listening to the customer. So, I mean, they do collaboration as well. They do user experience really well.
I think it's that for me, it's that, like, putting themselves in the customer's shoes, in the consumer's shoes, and then relentlessly kind of trying to solve that problem, solve any issues they might have, and also kind of retesting and tweaking and then checking the consumer again, and just that.
I think, as you said, before you said that they use empathy a lot when they design. Yeah. And I think that's apparent from when they're designing for people like Heston and Rhaenyra Duthie, or when they're doing it for your average person at home. It's kind of, you can clearly see the power of that.
So,
I was just going to say, I think that's coming from the founder as well.
The
values.
Because he was doing little comment cards and so that was always there, and it was already there, but then I suppose Richard and Keith really brought it out, but also that in terms of an ideas culture and innovations culture, you have to go and protect your ideas going forward. And so all those patents registered means that they can protect themselves as a business to go and put those ideas out, and other people can't copy them. So they've done all those things well, haven't they? Collaboration, innovation, the feedback loops, user experience, even, like those things, those relationships with Heston. Heston wouldn't have got on board if it was just an average company.
No, what I love is, there's that, because of all the R&D they do, you might think they might be overly science-based, overly sciencey. Like you said, they wanted to go 10% darker on that Bitmore button, but they didn't do it a bit more. And then with the citrus press and the arthritis, the temptation would have been to go, oh, it's an accessible thing, it's really ugly. But it's not. It's both accessible and a beautiful product.
But it solves a human problem. So I think they're very human-based ideas company. So, I think we can learn a lot from them. And I think they do many, many things well. And that's what you have to do one thing well. So good for you, Sage. Well done. Keep it going. You've done well.
If you'd like to send us a pizza oven.
Yeah, we will test it.